Yes, Minister, by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn. Starring Paul Eddington as the Right Honourable James Hacker MP, and Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey Appleby, with Derek Bowles as Bernard Woolley in The Economy Drive.
You've read it.
I've read it.
Have you read this?
He's read it.
Let me read it to you.
We've read it.
Headline. Quote, "Let's Get Rid of Jim Hacker" by John Pilgrim, our special investigator. The Right Honourable Jim Hacker, MP, promised to carry out the government's pledge to slim down the civil service, to wipe out the interference from the Whitehall and Town Hall busybodies. But how many people realise that, to take just one example, more people serve in the Inland Revenue than the Royal Navy?
Is that true?
I believe it is, Minister.
Quote, "Perhaps the government thinks that a tax is the best form of defence."
Oh, that's rather witty. Oh, sorry.
And have you read this bit?
He's ready.
Quote, "I have discovered that no fewer than four ministries check the supply of the same army uniforms. The Ministry of Defence checks to see they get what they're ordered. The Department of Industry checks to see that they've been manufactured according to government regulations. The Treasury checks the bills, and Jim Hacker's mob just checks up on everyone else. Jim Hacker is the most obvious case of overmanning in Whitehall. Let's start by getting rid of him and saving at least one salary."
Frank, why did you read that to me? I told you I'd read it.
Because I'm your political advisor. Do you realise how politically damaging this is for you?
Good morning, Minister. Have you read this?
Yes, I have read it. I have read it, you have read it, we have all bloody read it. Do I make myself clear?
Abundantly, Minister.
I'm sorry. Sit down. Humphrey, we have to slim down the civil service. How many people are there in this department?
This department, well, we're very small.
How small? How small?
Oh, I don't know.
1,000? 2,000? 3,000?
About 23,000, I think, Minister.
3,000? In the Department of Administrative Affairs? 23,000 people just to administer other administrators? We'll have to do a time and motion. See how many we can do without.
Oh, we did one of those last year, Minister.
And?
We found we needed about another 500 people. However, Minister, we could always close your, bureaucratic watchdog.
Oh, no, you don't. I really just opened it. It's the one thing I have done since I arrived.
As you wish, Minister, but it has been criticised as a troublemaker's letterbox.
It's very popular with the voters, Humphrey. It gives them a chance to help us find ways to stop wasting government money.
The public don't know anything about wasting government money. We're the experts.
My bureaucratic watchdog office stays.
Well, offhand, I don't know what else to suggest.
Are you really telling me there's nothing we can cut down on?
Well, I suppose we could lose one or two of the tea ladies.
No, Humphrey, please, try to be serious about this tea lady. Look, I want some facts. How many people work here, what they all do, how many buildings we have, who's in them, a complete study. Then we'll be able to see where we can cut costs, cut staff, cut procedures.
Minister, the civil service exists to implement legislation that is enacted by Parliament. So long as Parliament continues to legislate, the civil service must continue to grow. However, I am fully seized of your requirements, so if you'll excuse me, I think I'd better set the wheels in motion.
Thank you, Humphrey.
Did you know that a Northwest regional controller has achieved cuts of £32 million in his region alone?
Really?
And that the civil service is suppressing the whole story.
This is true, Bernard.
If it is, I'm aghast.
Why is it being suppressed?
Because if he can save money, everyone else will have to do it.
Frank, why don't you do some ferreting about?
Do you think I could?
I think that's a very good idea, Mr. Ferret. Weasel. I mean, Wiser.
He told you £32 million?
Yes.
I'm aghast.
So was I. It's incredible we didn't know about it.
I knew about it.
Then why are you so aghast?
I'm aghast that it's got out. It might mean we get less money from the Treasury next year. Good Lord.
Oh, it's after 5:30.
Sherry?
Oh, thanks.
You still look worried, Bernard.
Well, yes, surely we want to save money.
Bernard, you know perfectly well that there has to be some way to measure success in the civil service.
There you are.
British laymen can measure success by the size of their profits. Or, to be more accurate, they measure their failure by the size of their losses. But we don't make profits or losses. We can only measure success by the size of our staff and our budget. By definition, Bernard, a big department is more successful than a small one.
So the Northwest Regional Controller has boobed by saving so much money?
Well, of course. Nobody asked him to. I mean, suppose everybody did it. Suppose everybody started saving money irresponsibly all over the place.
That's what the minister wants, isn't it?
Well, ministers come and ministers go. The average minister lasts less than 11 months in any department. It is our duty to assist the minister to fight for the department's money despite his own panic reactions.
You mean help him overcome his panic?
No, no. We must let him panic. Politicians like to panic. They need activity. It's their substitute for achievement. We must just ensure that it doesn't change anything.
But even so, they are the people's representatives, democratically chosen.
MPs aren't chosen by the people. They're chosen by their local party. 35 men in grubby raincoats or 35 women in silly hats.
So then the government is selected from the best of them.
Bernard, there are only 650 MPs. If one party has just over 300, it forms a government. Of those 300, 100 are too old and silly, 100 too young and callow, which leaves about 100 MPs to fill 100 government posts. No choice at all. They've had no selection, no training. We have to do the job for them.
But how do we explain the 32 million to the minister?
Oh, we can explain that they've changed their accounting system in the Northwest, or that they've redrawn the regional boundaries, so this year's figures aren't comparable. Oh, there are lots of possibilities.
Yes, I see.
Well, useful chat, Bernard. Good job it never took place.
No, of course not.
So, what else is our friend Weasel up to?
Oh, ferreting.
Ferreting?
Where? A roving brief.
Then we must provide Rover with a government car so that we'll know where he's digging.
How are you getting on with your minister, Humpy? Got this economizing nonsense under control?
Oh, I think so, Jumbo. More or less.
What do you mean, more or less?
Well, yes and no.
Well, presumably it's like all other government economy drives. 3 days of press releases, 3 weeks of ministerial memos, then a crisis in the Middle East and back to normal again.
Yes, but his is rather different. Now, I'm afraid he's beginning to see slimming down the service as his main task.
Damn it, we don't need slimming. I think you may have to conduct another Operation Hair Shirt.
Operation Hair Shirt? Well, that's a good idea. Guide him towards painful personal economies.
Yes, you know. Economy begins at home, Minister.
Set an example, Minister.
Can't expect others to do what we don't do ourselves.
Yes, 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 yes. That's just what he needs. Self-denial. Splendid.
Item 3. The economy drive. Now, Frank here has come up with some astounding revelations about wastage in our very midst.
Has he really?
And I think you're going to be pretty surprised at what I've uncovered.
I must say, Humphrey, these facts are a frightening indictment of bureaucratic sloppiness and self-indulgence.
Yeah, dear.
But you'll see that they give us enormous scope for some really dramatic economies.
Oh, good show.
Now, there are two files here.
Mm-hmm.
One on manpower, one on buildings. Now, let's look at the buildings first. Chadwick House, West Audley Street.
A huge building, only a handful of people working there.
Yes, I happen to know about Chadwick House.
And what do you know?
Well, it's certainly underused at the moment, but it's the designated office for the new Commission on the Environment. We're actually wondering if it'll be big enough when all the staff move in.
Okay. Then there's Ladysmith Buildings, Walthamstow. Apparently, that's totally empty.
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
Security Minister, I can say no more.
What do you mean? You mean MI6?
Well,
What does that mean?
We do not admit that MI6 exists.
Everybody knows it exists.
Nevertheless, we do not admit it. Not everyone round this table has been vetted.
I thought that was something you do to cats.
Yes, but not ferrets, Minister. Ladysmith Buildings is top secret.
How can a 7-story building in Walthamstow be a secret?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
All right. What about Wellington House and Westminster Old Hall?
Huh? Wellington House, Mad Park Road, estimated value £7.5 million. Westminster Old Hall, Sackville Square, estimated value £11 million. Tiny staff, both buildings entirely full of filing cabinets.
May I ask the source of those valuations?
Going rate for office property in the area.
Yes, but unfortunately neither of those buildings would fetch the going rate.
Why not?
Well, Wellington House has no fire escape or fire doors, and the fabric of the building would not stand the alteration, so it can't be sold as offices.
Then how are you able to use them?
Government buildings do not need fire safety clearance.
Why not?
Well, perhaps because
Her Majesty's civil servants are not easily inflamed.
Okay, then what about Westminster Old Hall?
Class 1 listed building. Can't change current user designation.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about 3 to 17 Beaconsfield Street?
Oh, that has a 3-level reinforced concrete basement.
So?
It's there in case.
In case?
You know, Minister, emergency government headquarters, if and when.
If and when what?
If and when you know what.
What?
If and when you know what.
I don't know what. What?
What?
What do you mean, if and when you know what?
Well, Minister, when the chips are down and the balloon goes up and the lights go out, there has to be somewhere to carry on government, even if everything else stops.
Why?
Oh, Minister, government doesn't stop merely because the country's been destroyed. Annihilation is bad enough without anarchy to make it even worse.
You mean you'd have a lot of rebellious cinders?
Well, that's right. Who would there be for you to govern?
Well, there's bound to be some ordinary people left.
Now, what about the central registry?
No planning permission.
How does he know all this, Jim?
You knew where I'd been.
Obviously, we knew where he'd been. Why, was he supposed to be spying? We do believe in open inquiries, don't we?
Let's turn to the question of manpower. Apparently, there are 90 civil servants in Sunderland exactly duplicating the work of 90 others here in Whitehall.
That stems from a cabinet decision, job creation in the northeast.
Well, let's get rid of them.
Yes, that would get rid of 90 civil servants at a stroke.
Yeah. Or indeed at a strike.
Yeah. What?
Personally, I would be wholeheartedly in favour of such a view, a minister of considerable economy. But, of course, it would show great political courage to sack staff in a depressed, marginal constituency.
I just don't believe that there are no savings to be made in the civil service. I see waste everywhere.
I agree with you, Minister. There is indeed scope for economy.
Well, where?
Well, I sometimes feel that the whole way we do things is on too lavish a scale. You know, cars, furnishings, entertainment, private office staff, duplicating machines.
Yes, absolutely. That's where we move. Marvellous.
There is a difficulty, however.
I knew it.
It does cause profound resentment if those at the top continue to enjoy the convenience and comforts they withdraw from those below them. Not to mention the deeply damaging publicity.
You mean what you and I should...
set a personal example?
Economy begins at home.
Well, we can't expect others to do what we won't do ourselves. Now, can we?
Would it really save all that much?
Well, directly, no. But as an example to the whole public service, incalculable.
Well, I don't know.
But you know,
really.
Jim, there'd be a lot of great publicity. The minister shows the way.
Yeah.
Slimline government.
Hacker sets the example. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, good. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right, how do we start?
Oh, turn the light off.
Right, where you asleep?
Yes.
I missed the train. Had to walk all the way to Euston.
What happened to the chauffeur-driven car?
I got rid of it.
Why?
I've also got rid of the chauffeur. And all that grand office furniture. And the drinks cabinet. And half the staff from my private office.
You've been sacked.
No.
Well, then why?
It's an economy drive. I'm setting an example. No frills, no luxuries, no privileges.
You're mad. For 20 years, you've complained that as a backbencher, you had no facilities. Now you've been given them and you're throwing them away.
But
for 20 years, you wanted to be a success. Why did you want it if it brings no greater comfort than failure?
You just don't understand politics, do you? This will give me much greater power in the end.
And how will you travel when you're Prime Minister? Hitchhike?
Bernard, come in for a diary session.
Yes, Minister, as soon as I've done this typing.
Can't you get Jane to do that?
Well, not really, Minister. It's rather urgent, and since the cutbacks, there's just the two of us trying to do everything.
Well, come into my office. We have to talk.
Oh, Jane, where's W?
Top left.
Bernard, come here, now.
Look, we have to go through my appointments. I was double booked this morning. I arrived an hour and a half late to open that exhibition.
What exhibition?
The business efficiency exhibition.
Look, I do apologize, Minister, but with the staff economies in your private office, it's really awfully difficult to keep track.
I can't help that. Now, what's happening this afternoon?
I'll just get the diary, Minister.
Yeah, not now. Not now.
Hello, Docs.
Yeah, morning. Look, do you have to do this now?
Yes.
They've cancelled the night shift. Some idiot has started another of those economy drives. I'm Nelly.
Oh, good. Now the thing
Who
is,
are you?
I would. Well, I'm the minister.
Are you really? Well, I never. I'm pleased to meet you. You know, I voted for you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You can call me Nelly. Oh,
thank you.
What do I call you?
Jim.
Here's the diary, Minister.
Hey, look, turn that off for a minute. Turn it off! Nelly!
What?
Nelly! Would you excuse us, dear? This meeting is confidential.
Well, I've got to get on, you know, Jim.
Yes. Yes, so am I.
Look, I won't use the Hoover. I'll tiptoe. You will never notice me.
Please go.
Look, I'm as light as a feather.
Out! Now!
All right, Jim. I can take a hint.
It's just Mr. Bruff, the Director of Manpower Planning for the Northeast Region this morning, Minister. You remember staff reductions. That's in a few minutes, and then straight off to the House for question time in a 7:30 division. And at 8, the French Prime Minister's reception at his embassy.
Right.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I simply must take the schedules over to the Whip's office.
But Bernard, it is worth it, you know. Centre spread and three photos.
I read it, Minister.
Yeah, do you see this one of me? With a cheese roll on the cardboard plate. No luxury lunches in Hacker's new austerity regime. Economy begins at home, said Jim Hacker today, as he set an example to Britain's pampered army of bowler-hatted bureaucrats. Terrific, isn't it?
Yes, Minister, you've read it to me already.
Great, isn't it?
Yes, Minister.
We shall economise on the beaches. We shall economise.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I want to see the minister.
Do you have an appointment?
My name's Ronald Watson, General Secretary of the Civil Service Transport and Associated Government Work.
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Watson.
We've heard some very disturbing rumours about cutbacks and redundancies affecting our members, and
Mr. Watson, it's just not possible to see the minister now. You must have an appointment. Please ring me tomorrow.
Well, why can't I arrange it now?
No, look, I'm sorry.
Well, never heard anything.
All right, Jane. Try and make an appointment for Mr. Watson to see the minister next week.
Next week?
Yes. Yes, we're expecting Mr. Bruff now. Oh. When's it due in at Euston? Oh, we'll have to cancel it for today, then. Yes, I'll tell him. Bye. Oh, your appointment. What time would be convenient?
Meeting cancelled, then?
Yes.
Great. So I can see him now.
Oh, I'm afraid he's got to... Yes? No, he's not here. Can I take a message? Oh, wait a minute. You can't go in there, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Bruff.
Mr. Bruff has had to cancel the meeting. My name's Ron Watson.
Well, thank you for coming down instead. Do sit down. Now, look, Mr.
Watson.
Before we start, there's one point I have to emphasize. This simply must not get out. I mean, if the unions were to hear of this, all hell would break loose.
Oh, I see.
Of course, there are going to be redundancies. You can't slim down a giant bureaucracy without getting rid of people. Ultimately, lots of people.
But won't you be holding discussions with the unions first?
Well, we'll go through the usual charade of consultation first. You know what trade unions are like. Just bloody-minded. Think of two short planks.
All of them?
Pretty well. Good Lord, you should know. All they're interested in is poaching members from each other or getting themselves on the telly. And they can never keep their big mouths shut.
What's going to happen to the drivers and transport service?
They'll be the first to go. We are wasting a fortune on cars and drivers. And they're all on the fiddle anyway.
Oh, I see. Because I was trying to explain, I'm not Mr. Bruff's deputy. I'm the General Secretary of the Civil Service Transport and Associated Government Workers. I came here today to check that there was no truth in these rumours about redundancies for my members.
When I said I didn't actually... Oh, God. You're crying. quotes me, word for word. Of course there are going to be redundancies. Lots.
I'm most terribly sorry, Minister.
Are all drivers on strike?
100% response, Minister.
How could you let this happen?
CBE, Minister.
CBE?
Can't be everywhere. I mean, in normal circumstances.
Yeah, I know.
May I remind you, Minister, that you and Mrs. Hacker are due at the French Embassy at 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Get my car, will you? No, well, phone Mrs. Hacker. She'll have to bring our car into town.
But, Minister, I've already explored that possibility. Mrs. Hacker says that she has to drop it off at the garage.
You just have to do that tomorrow. Get us as far as Kensington, anyway. At least there's no problem about that.
To walk.
Did you bring the umbrella?
No, didn't you?
Terrific.
You're going the wrong way.
I'm not. I'm going home.
Annie, I think I've found what's wrong.
I know I have.
All right. What do they say?
Mr. Economy falls down in gutter after champagne party.
Oh, my God.
This one's slightly better, perhaps. Hacker tired and emotional after embassy reception.
Is that better?
Well, it's different.
Does anyone say anything beyond tired and emotional?
Well, William Hickey says you were overwrought, Minister.
Just overwrought? Nothing about being drunk?
No, Minister, just overwrought.
Overwrought is a newt, actually.
Couldn't be any worse, could it?
Well, actually, Minister, I don't want to depress you, but, well, there is just this lead story in the Times.
God, it is worse. Hacker recruits 400 new civil servants in, quote, economy drive.
400 more civil servants? But, Minister, you asked for them. You demanded a complete study, a survey, facts and figures. These measures cannot be taken by non-people.
If you create
more work, more people have to be employed to do it. It's common sense. And if you persist with the bureaucratic watchdog office, there'll be at least another 400 new jobs there as well.
Humphrey, what are we going to do?
Well, Minister, if we were to end the economy drive and close the bureaucratic watchdog office, we could issue an immediate press announcement that you'd axed 800 jobs. If you'd like to approve this draft.
But no one was ever doing these jobs. No one's been appointed yet.
Even greater economy. We've saved 800 redundancy payments as well.
But that's just crazy. It's dishonest. It's juggling with figures. Pulling the wool over people's eyes.
A government press release, in fact.
Well, fine. Humphrey, how are we actually going to slim down the civil service?
Minister, perhaps you'll allow me to present you with an entirely fresh proposal.
Proposal for the reduction of the number of tea ladies.
Yes, Minister.
In the economy drive, you heard Paul Eddington as Jim Hacker, Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey, and Derek Bowles as Bernard. Annie Hacker was played by Diana Hoddinott, Frank by Bill Nye, and Frederick by Peter Sellier. Barry Murray was Nellie, Milton Johns was Ron Watson, and Carol Boyd was Jay. Yes, Minister was written by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn, and produced by Pete Atkin.